This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on January 19, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or send an email to us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. The open session for Thursday, January 19, 2012 will now come to order. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for January 12, 2011. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
I do, Madam Chair. Thank you. We actually do need to correct the minutes this time and not just approve them. So in order to correct them, I move approval of Agenda Document 12-07-A, which replaces Agenda Document 12-07.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Vice Chair, we have a few late submitted documents.
We do, Madam Chair. I therefore move that we suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that we may consider the late submission of agenda documents 12-03, 12-04, 12-05, which includes drafts A and B, 12-06, which includes drafts A and B, and 12-06A, which includes the replacement version of draft A from 12-06.
Good job.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And the ayes have it, 6-0. Thank you very much.
I'm really relieved. I wouldn't want to have to do that again.
Yeah, that was very well done. Thank you. So we have five advisory opinions on the agenda for today, some of which we anticipate voting on. Mm-hmm. Others we may hold them over till the next open meeting, which is on February 2nd. The first one on the agenda is Stan Lauder, LLC, doing business as stanlauder.com. And for those of you who were here last week, we had a very productive, lengthy conversation with Mr. Victor Hanek, who's here again this morning, and with counsel Mr. Call. Thank you very much for that. I think it's fair to say we don't have any questions at this time for either of you today. Is that correct? But that we are working on trying to come up with a draft that will hopefully garner the four votes necessary. And thank you for the extension that you gave us until February 3rd. We hope to have something by then. Excellent. With that, we will consider that draft opinion in the near future. Thank you. Thank you, counsel.
Great job.
The next advisory opinion on the agenda today is Atlas Air Worldwide Holdings. My understanding is that we have Mr. Steve Roberts in the audience today. Who's the counsel from K&L Gates, and Russell Palmer, who's the associate general counsel of Atlas Air. I don't anticipate at this point that we have any questions, but if that changes, we'll certainly call you up. But thank you very much for coming this morning. Mr. Bloom?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Office of General Counsel. Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda document number 12-03 is a draft response to a request for an advisory opinion from Atlas Air Worldwide Holdings, a Delaware corporation. The requester asks whether certain managerial employees at its two subsidiary corporations qualify as executive or administrative personnel under the Act and Commission regulations, such that the requester may solicit contributions from them to its separate segregated fund. The managers are inactive members of the union that represents pilots at the companies. By virtue of their managerial roles, however, their participatory rights in and obligations toward the union are significantly restricted. The draft concludes that the managers do qualify as executive or administrative personnel under the Act and Commission regulations, and that their inactive membership in the union does not otherwise preclude the requester from soliciting them for contributions to its SSF. We did not receive any comments on the draft. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? There's only one draft on this. So do we have a motion?
We do, Madam Chair. I move approval of the draft response set forth in Agenda Document 12-03, Advisory Opinion 2001-25 to Atlas Air.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it, 6-0. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bloom. The next advisory on the opinion on the agenda is Martin Freeman, and we have Joanna Wallstreicher from the Office of General Counsel. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 12-04 is a draft response to an advisory opinion request submitted by Martin H. Freeman. Mr. Freeman proposes to raise and spend money to identify individuals who do not have photographic identification in states that require such identification to register to vote or to vote, and to help them obtain such identification. The request asks whether Mr. Freeman's proposed activities are governed by any provisions of the Act or Commission regulations. The draft concludes that because Mr. Freeman's proposed activities will not be on behalf of, nor will he accept any funds from, any candidate, party, or political committee, and because he will not assist individuals in registering to vote or in voting, money raised and spent for his proposed activities will not constitute contributions or expenditures so long as no effort is made to determine individuals' party or candidate preference before assisting them in obtaining photographic identification. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Once again, there's only one draft on this advisory opinion. Is there a motion?
There is, Madam Chair. I applaud Mr. Freeman for his public-spirited effort to make sure that people have what they need in order to vote. So I move approval of Agenda Document 12-04, which answers the Advisory Opinion 2011-26 to Mr. Freeman.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it, 6-0. Thank you. So the next item on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2011-27, New Mexico Voices for Children, and we're obviously trying to get the gentleman on the phone to discuss the AO with us, but why don't we just take a brief recess until we're able to get Mr. DeMartinez on the line.
Juliet Yazzie, extension 10.
Maybe 2 hours.
Maybe two.
Yeah. Thank you.
surprise. I mean, it would not be the first time that this is so, I mean, it's true. That's why some people have their
reflection. Did we call him this morning beforehand to wake him up? We told him the wrong time of day. Thinking about the hours or something.
Session. Thank you very much, Ms. Woodhead-Worth, for trying to get the gentleman on the phone. We were unable to do so this morning. The deadline for this advisory opinion, the 60-day deadline, is February 6th, so we do have a little bit of time. We can consider this at the next open meeting, and or we might be able to send some questions to the organization through email, which would obviously be posted in the public record. But we can deal with that. We have until February 6th. Thank you very much. The next advisory opinion on the agenda is Western Representation PAC, and the requester is Mr. Dan Backer, who's here with us today, and we do anticipate questions for you, Mr. Backer, so you can come up to the table. Please.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
We have a presentation by Mr. Buckley from the Office of General Counsel. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 12-06 and 12-06A contain two draft advisory opinions that respond to a request submitted on behalf of Western Representation PAC. Western Representation PAC is a non-connected political committee that plans an independent expenditure campaign during the 2012 presidential primary season via ads on Facebook. Some of the ads will reference a specific election, while others will not. The committee asks whether it may exclude the cost of each ad from its aggregation of costs for independent expenditures made with respect to given elections. The committee also asks whether it may report the costs of its Facebook ads on its monthly reports without having to attribute these costs to individual state presidential primary elections. Traps A and B both conclude that the committee may not exclude the cost of placing each independent expenditure ad on Facebook from its aggregation of costs for independent expenditures made with respect to given elections. Drafts A and B also conclude that the committee must attribute the cost of its independent expenditure Facebook ads to individual state presidential primary elections on its monthly reports. The commission received no comments on the request and one comment on drafts A and B. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Backer? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The comments that you've submitted yesterday, what stood out to me and caught my eye the most was Facebook's model for calculating cost of what for its advertising rates. You go through and explain how the way it works, sometimes you don't know exactly what the cost of an ad was until maybe up to 48 hours after the ad was posted on Facebook. I was wondering, could you flesh out a little bit more how that works and how frequent is it that you don't know how much you paid until a day or two after an ad is posted on Facebook?
Well, we don't know offhand how often the actual data will be delayed beyond 24 hours. I think it depends on the level of activity on Facebook at that time. But as I understand the technology involved, we create a single ad which appears on the right side of the screen. And that ad is competing with every other ad that people want to post on Facebook, some with targeted interest and so forth. We have a bid that we're willing to pay for that ad to be visible, either as part of a cost per click or a cost per 1,000 impressions, and that attributes to the $2,000 absolute maximum daily amount that we're saying we would spend for the purposes of this request. So Facebook's algorithm decides whether or not our ad bid wins that particular spot, and then over the course of the 24-hour calendar day, aggregates all the individual impressions that has occurred, whether some are by click and some are or CPC, cost per click, and which ones are CPM, cost per 1,000 impressions, and then aggregates the total of bids and all that into the final amount that we've essentially spent for that period of time. That assumes there's only one physical unique ad, but we're already talking about two separate ads, even if they're identical, because one has to be run cost per click and one has to be run CPC, one has to be run CPM. So even if they're exactly identical ads, there's technically two of them. And so that adds a level of complexity. And if there's any sort of tweaking of the ads, for example, to test header information, what the tagline is, maybe a graphic, which is pretty common in online advertising, that increases the level of complexity involved in calculating all this data. My understanding is that Facebook aggregates it and then issues the we have an account, we log in, it tells us what the total amount that was spent the prior day, but that information isn't always available the next morning or even until at most 48 hours is what their terms of use allow for. And I think that has a lot to do with how we rank in terms of usage and volume compared to every single other person who's advertising on Facebook. And I think there's several million Facebook pages viewed every single day, so there's with the two or three advertisements on each page, so there's a tremendous amount of volume in that process.
In terms of the billing report that you get on a daily basis or within a day or two after an ad runs, what does that look like? How difficult is that through and determine cost for that ad?
Well, let's say we're just running a single ad, both CPC and CPM. So there will be two line items for that period of day. And then it'll tell us the total number of impressions, the average rates, and the individual rates the average CPC and CPM cost paid against our bids. And then it'll the total calculation there. And so it'll tell us which one of each of these ads, what it costs for each of those two different ads. So we could use that data, as the commission suggests, as part of the analysis, but because we don't know whether we're going to have the data in time, that becomes problematic. We're not realistically going to get the data from midnight to midnight the prior day until the following morning when people come in and look at this. And then there's the complexity of actually then dividing that up amongst the individual states internally and then entering each of those internal transactions into FEC file. So we think the data is pretty useful. Mostly we're looking at it in terms of what's getting us a higher volume of clicks and impressions, CPC or CPM. And so there's going to be constant tweaking, including in the middle of the day, of what those bid rates could be. For example, if we see that we're getting far more clicks per total impressions paying by CPC versus CPM, we may start increasing the amount of the bid on the CPC versus the and lower the bid for CPM. And so we're changing that data, which in turn changes the reporting and the timing of the reporting from Facebook.
Okay. And the last question I have is, in your comments, you said that the drafts that were made below do not accurately reflect the operation of Facebook's advertising platform and therefore actual unreasonable burdens associated with the 24 and 48-hour reporting. Is the burden that you're talking about primarily that you don't know how much an ad costs until sometimes a day later, maybe 2 days after, or what exactly is it that the drafts that we put out don't accurately reflect?
We think there's two burdens. One, we don't know. We're not necessarily going to know within a sufficient period of time what we spent the prior 24-hour period day, and that right there may prevent us from being able to properly report. And the second burden is, as we understand it, if we spent $2,000 yesterday, and today we have that number, and we divide it up by all the states, we now have to enter in our FEC file software an individual entry pro rata across all the states that have upcoming primaries for just that day. So, and we're doing that every single day, including Saturday and Sunday, so that as we start reaching those thresholds, all the individual days' transactions are entered so that we're correctly aggregating when we file those individual reports. And then when we do trigger 24 and 48-hour reports, those are independent reports for each individual state. So there's a lot of just data entry and processing that's going to have to go on a daily basis in order for us to properly comply with the regulations. And we think that is just unreasonably burdensome for a relatively small organization.
Any other questions? Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you. Just to follow up a little bit on what Commissioner Peterson was asking, you've indicated to us that the terms of service allow Facebook to provide you information within 48 hours, although it's my understanding that their anticipated plan, what they would expect to do, is provide it within 24 hours. Is that
right? Yeah. They're generally speaking, they say they're able to provide in 24 hours. And in my past experience using this exact platform for an unrelated topic, usually we get the data the next day, but not always. And I think that's the concern that we have, is that we don't know. And, you know, I don't want to be in a position of saying, well, you know, Murphy's Law is going to trump here. We're going to be close to a threshold. And then all of a sudden, we're not going to have the data we need to know whether we've crossed a threshold until 48 hours. And then we're going to have a problem with our report. And I don't want to see my client in a position to not have complied the one time that the system decides to take advantage of the leeway that it has.
I can understand that. And certainly, as a business practice, I assume many vendors say, you know, this is what we anticipate doing, but we reserve the right. So you can't sue them if they don't send you the bill in 24 hours. That seems
exactly, like
a perfectly reasonable business practice. But of course, at the commission, we also allow, that happens in with other vendors as well. That can happen when somebody doesn't get you they give you an estimate or something, and that's how we've handled it before with estimates. And then of course you can correct those reports later if the dollar amount turns out to be not what you're estimating. And it sounds like you're going to set a maximum, so you're going to know the top level. You've represented in your request,
yes,
that it's $2,000 for these purposes.
That's the total amount that may be spent per day. My experience historically is you never hit the maximum. It's always some random number. If it's $2,000, it'll be $1,743.18. It's a very random determination that we can't accurately predict. Even if we assume, though, that it's going to hit $2,000 every single day because people love our ads and they're clicking on it like crazy, the problem then becomes we still have to even if we know that, we still have to enter all these breakdowns every single day and spend a lot of time and energy trying to track that as opposed to speaking. And it seems, certainly we understand the importance of disclosing and being transparent in our activity, but it seems that this is a little bit of overkill, particularly because it's an ad that's generally being available to everybody, but we're reporting it separately to every individual for every individual state with an upcoming primary election. That's sort of where we're worried about the burden there.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner McGinn?
A couple questions, I guess. We're talking. You're a PAC, so this is going to be reported on your monthly or quarterly, whichever you elect to do. And I guess you've elected to do monthly. Right?
Yes.
So this is, and your point is you're doing it there. So do you really need to do these IE reports? Because this seems like a lot of work and headache over a couple grand. Right.
Yes.
Basically, where we are. Here's the couple problems I have. First, you do have the statute that says independent expenditures have their own free-floating reporting requirement, depending on how close it is to a particular election. That's been upheld in Buckley, right? When you start talking about burdens and that kind of thing, are you making a constitutional challenge and saying that the law goes too far? And if you are, do you have any authority that lets us make that decision? I mean, if there's a case or something that lets – if there's – because I'm looking at Buckley and I don't really see a lot of a play. Or are you making more of an argument that I think is a more proper argument for the FEC that we can come up with some sort of either exception or sui generis application for this kind of situation? Because when the statute was passed in the 70s, they were talking TV ads and some mail and some maybe phone calls, and now we have this whole new world of Facebook ads and Google ads and all kinds of high-tech ads where you don't really pay until somebody clicks, and then you're not really sure who's clicked, and, you know, it's much more complicated. I'm just trying to figure out what you're doing, because if you're making the first, I'm not sure we can get there, because but you do have, you know, a real problem. $1,000 threshold on IE reports back in the mid-70s, I guess that was a lot of money, but now you have all this reporting obligation over not a lot of money compared to even the $10,000 threshold on the 48 hours when you're outside of 20 days from an election. So I'm getting a sense of where the challenge is, because if this is sort of a step on to challenging the statute, I appreciate where you're going. But if we're actually trying to get an answer, I'm kind of curious, because the drafts tried to get an answer unencumbered by the facts, unfortunately, and we appreciate your comment on that, because I kind of thought this was more like a TV ad where you can just prorate, but that maybe doesn't fit. So could you give me a little more, talk my language for me so I understand what we're doing here?
We're seeking the latter, to find an interpretation of the statute that does not overly burden the client with monstrous levels of reporting while still allowing them to properly report. And I don't know what the best solution there is, but perhaps allowing them to aggregate all the advertising as a single expense towards, rather than breaking it down by the states. That alone would significantly restrict the amount of work that's going to have to go into this.
So would you be willing to do one IE report when the initial $2,000? So I'm not even sure. Does it leave your hands, or do you give them a credit card?
Well, we give them a credit card.
Click.
In fact, that's
not an IE reportable thing, because you're just handing a credit card number, right? There's not an expenditure there, so
correct.
That doesn't fit either.
Nor do they charge us at $2,000 a day, or $10,000 every 5 days. They charge us whatever we've accrued as our bill. That's what they charge us every several days.
There's a reg that lets you estimate for IE purposes. What's awkward about that is the IE report is supposedly under oath, so if it's an estimate, you don't want to be the unlucky one that gets sent over to DOJ for a false report. But I don't know of any case where the FEC has ever done that. I'm certainly not suggesting, you can trust us. But there is a reg that gives you some cover. Could you do an estimate as you're handing them the credit card number, so to speak, before there's clicks, saying we estimate there'll be about $2,000 worth of IEs, and do an IE report that way?
The question then becomes, what are we reporting? The entire string of ads, of course, across the lifetime of the presidential primaries until the last one, or each individual day. If we're saying, let's say there's 100 days left in the presidential primary cycle, and we think we're going to max out at $2,000 a day, then we can file, one estimate saying $200,000, and maybe divide that by each of the states. But we know when it actually comes down to it, if we're breaking down every day's expense. Against all the different states, and it's a different formula, as we cross primary days, we're not going to be anywhere near that actual estimate. It's going to be far below it. And we're still going to have the burden of having to prepare daily reports of the amount of money that we're spending on any given day for each individual upcoming state primary.
So it's the daily report that's really...
Yeah, I think that's the killer of
it. If it's a one report, that's not as big a deal. even though we're not necessarily tying it to each individual primary, but it's the same candidates for the most part in each presidential primary. I mean, people drop out.
Right.
It's not always the same.
Right? We had somebody drop out today. So.
But if, you know, that, so obviously you're not going to be doing IEs for the governor of Texas after today. If you are, you didn't read the news.
Yeah.
How do we do this in FEC? I mean, you have the Forbes AO floating out there on the contribution side, which is a little bit different deal, but maybe there's some analogy there. I'm not sure there's enough commissioners that think that one fits. But help us fashion something where we're not throwing the statute in the trash can. You're still doing something that looks like an IE report. The public still knows what's going on.
If we were filing an IE report, even if we were filing one IE report each day for the prior 24-hour period's advertising, or the estimate thereof if it's late, only having to do one IE for the entire, or one report for the entirety and not having to divide it by each individual state election, that's, you know, a huge amount of work that's being saved. And because the ads are being distributed to the general public, not just to the audience in those particular states that have upcoming elections, that alone would be a tremendous relief of the burden that my client is looking at. Obviously, we think reporting it on the monthly reports might be a sufficient way to do it. But if we could at least reduce the volume of the daily reporting, that's going to allow them to speak. Looking at reporting every single day for every single state and having to do those calculations and keep that up, it's including on week, on Saturdays and on Sundays and on holidays, it just becomes so burdensome that they just don't want to do it. And, you know, it's not worth their speaking if they're going to, you know, have to essentially hire somebody to be a full-time 24-hour-a-day reporting person.
Right. You've sold me on the burden. I mean, it's pretty clear. It's not like buying TV where even that gets kind of cumbersome, but media buyers can work it out. And you still do an IE report on what you think the TV was, and they may actually miss a rotation, and then you get credit, but no one amends their IE reports on that. So even those aren't necessarily as precise as people assume. Phones, you hand somebody money to do robocalls, right? Mail, you have to pay for postage. This is a little bit different, so I understand this is a new creature. And you're not necessarily the master of your own destiny, because sometimes you're going to know that there was an IE done in the amount, and you'll be able to do a report. But sometimes you're just not going to know, because that's just not the way the company that you're buying, placing the ads on, the website, gives you the accounting, right?
There's also the possibility that we don't get any ads in a day. It's a busy advertising cycle. We're a lot small. We're not as wealthy as some of the other organizations. So I've had in prior campaigns days where we were outbid on everything. And now, admittedly, that was from very micro targeted audiences of about 10,000 people. That was not political. But I imagine if we're going to all U.S. citizens of voting age, it's going to be harder to get knocked out. But it's still a possibility. I would suggest that the Forbes analogy is actually pretty good, because in 95-44. The analysis was, because we don't know that this particular X dollar contribution is for this primary or the next primary or which, but it's for the general primary period, you don't have to do, you know, you can aggregate that reporting. I would suggest that that's a really good analysis for this sort of IE activity, where we're advertising to the general public, it's prior to these elections, but it's for this primary period in general versus any specific individual election.
And you're willing to do some sort of IE report. It's just doing them every day. That's the problem.
Doing anywhere from 20 to 40 a day, 20 or 40 bits of data entry a day seems very burdensome for us. If it was one a day, that at least becomes reasonable to us. Even if it's one a day and we estimate $2,000, because that's what we're estimating, and we go back, if we don't have the correct actual amount that we paid for the prior day, that at least gets us a lesser amount of burden, particularly on weekends where, you know, no one's going to be doing this Saturdays and Sundays, so they're going to essentially have to pre-file their Saturday and Sunday spending IE report on Friday.
I mean, the commission has, from time to time, worked with people. We just had recently the yard signs and labor unions when they're distributed to the locals, and then when they get handed out to the public, and there was some confusion when the IE report would be due with the sign contained express advocacy, and we were able to come up with something that still provided some sort of reporting obligation, but yet didn't completely cause them to have to micromanage, you know, sign distribution. To me, that's a pretty good analogy as well, because you're willing to report, you're willing to even do an IE report, just a question of how many and how often. And at a certain point, if you're really micromanaging it to the point that you think the law requires you to micromanage it, it's almost information overload, and people are going to know less You know, they're going to feel dumber for having looked at your report, so to speak. You know, I mean, nothing personal, but it's just too much, you know. And,
yeah.
And if you're willing to do one report and an estimate thing, that seems reasonable to me, because we're not throwing the law out at that point. It doesn't seem like – I wasn't sure if you were coming in with the, you know, the $1,000 is too low and that's the problem, or this is a free-floating regime, kind of maybe a Davis challenge, like, well, you're still going to report this, but this is this, you know, burdensome thing just for fun. If you're looking for a real solution, it seems like – and if you're willing to do some sort of IE reporting, there's got to be a way to figure this out that's not – now, I don't know what that is, because up until your comments, I was going down a completely different road and had the facts wrong. So I'm not sure I can figure it out on the fly. I'm not sure any of us could, but that's where I am. You sold me on the burden, but you understand we got to make sure you file something. We just the question of how much and when, and you know, and then we got to worry. You know, the next guy comes in and all of a sudden it's $100,000 worth of ads, and we don't want to create a system where all of a sudden, you know, people show up with pitchforks and outside and say, you know, it's anything goes, because we get that every day already. At least some of us do. And, you know, some of us don't mind it. Some of us do mind it. So, you know, we don't want to do that unnecessarily. So if there's a way to do this, I'm more than willing to figure it out.
Commissioner Bowerly?
Thank you. Just to follow up on Commissioner Meehan's point, whether it's, you know, pitchforks or not, we haven't yet seen anything that sharp. But regardless of what people have to say about us, my challenge here is we have the statute and the regs, and I'm trying to figure out where, if the burden is difficult for you because this because the way this advertising works, why isn't it burdensome for why is this regime not burdensome for everyone? I'm trying to see the line here.
I think it is burdensome for everybody in this particular type of situation where you have – were to comply with the regulations, you would have to essentially file anywhere from 20 to 40 independent bits of information into FEC file every single day in order to properly comply.
Right.
So I think, you know, unfortunately, a guy with $1 million in advertising is facing the same problems we're facing, but we're still facing that problem at, you know, at just $2,000 a day.
The goal of the statute and the regs is to provide people about the information about upcoming elections. And while, yes, we're in this sort of primary period and it's, you know, it's a lot of information flowing about all of the candidates who are currently in the race, and as you point out, that does change every day. And in some instances, not all of the candidates who are in the primary are actually on the ballot in every state. Obviously, in Virginia, there are a couple of candidates who aren't on the ballot. So it is actually different in those, you know, if you're running the people in those states, you know, if you're living in Florida, you don't care so much what's being run in South Carolina. You want to know who's funding the advertising that's coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're living in Virginia and there are different, there's a subset of the people on the ballot as opposed to the full slate, you're entitled to that in kind of information. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I'm struggling with this. There doesn't seem to be a line to me, and the purpose is to provide people with the information about each particular election, and primaries are just, you know, messy that way because, of course, some of them are caucuses, some are non-binding caucuses, some are actual elections, and some are, you know, conventions. So it is admittedly a system, but that is the nature of letting every state decide how they want to do this.
I think
so. I don't really have a question, I guess, but that's unless you have more on the where the line is between the burden to you versus everyone who has to comply with these regulations.
I would suggest that one really good bright line is that we're advertising to everybody. We're not geographically targeting just Virginia or just Florida. It's essentially national level advertising, not targeting a specific state. And so we're not. I think that makes a difference. If somebody was just if somebody geo-targeted their Facebook advertising to just go to Virginia, I don't think, you know, any exemption or any interpretation here would apply to them. Clearly, they're targeting one specific election as opposed to the entire primary process period. And I think that is one good way to potentially look at how to interpret the regulations in a way so as not to create this massive daily reporting burden for what is essentially advertising to everybody all across the country, not about one specific component election in, say, Virginia or in Florida.
Mr. Weintraub, or excuse me, Madam Vice Chair.
That's okay. I'm still a commissioner.
That's true.
I lose track, you know. Some days I'm a commissioner, some days I'm vice chair. Today I guess I'm vice chair. I don't really have any questions. I just wanted to share my views on this. I think it's my understanding that people aren't going to be ready to vote on things today, and I'm obviously happy to work with my colleagues, and hopefully we can come up with an answer that we can all agree on. I think we have there's a lot, and this, I guess I agree with Commissioner McGann, there's a lot that's out of our hands here. Congress wrote a statute that required these 24 hours and 48-hour reports. And obviously reporting things within 24 and 48 hours by definition means you got to scurry around a little bit to get your reports in on time. They knew that. They wanted that. It's been upheld several times by the Supreme Court, most recently in Citizens United, where the court specifically seemed to revel in the prospect of all these really prompt disclosures. The court said, with the advent of the Internet, prompt disclosure of expenditures can provide shareholders and citizens with the information needed to hold corporations and elected officials accountable for their positions and supporters. So they liked this idea of prompt disclosure, and it is valuable information to voters, as the court also said. We have people who are making these reports now with Facebook and Google as payees. So people are figuring out a way to do this. And as has been pointed out, it's not a unique situation that sometimes you have to estimate, and then later you file an amendment if it turns out that your estimate was off. But nobody's going to go to jail for that, because by definition, nothing is criminal unless it's a knowing and willful violation. If you take your best shot and you make an estimate and then you amend it if you find out you're wrong later, there's clearly not a knowing and willful violation. I mean, nobody's ever gone to jail for this, and it's hard for me to imagine how anybody ever would go to jail for this. So we've got a statute that requires this kind of prompt disclosure. It's been endorsed by and upheld by the Supreme Court, and I think we don't have a lot of leeway on what we can do about that. And I think these are important goals and good goals. But as I said, I'm perfectly happy to talk to my colleagues further about how to address this specific response.
The vice chair just said that there are people that are doing this same kind of reports, and I would be interested, Mr. Palmer, you may need to get back to us. I don't put you on the spot, but if that is in fact true, if there are people that are doing the same kind, I know people are reporting Facebook ads, but the same type of situation that we have today, perhaps you could get back to us if you're not able to let us know that right now. Any more questions? Mr. Herman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Backer, I just have one factual question. I think today you said you weren't going to target specific elections. And in an email to the General Counsel's office, I think you said you did plan to target special elections. Could you just clarify what your position is here, please?
We might, but we're probably not going to. I didn't want to rule it out because, you know, we don't want to say we're not going to do this and then end up in the decisive final primary, you know, in Missouri, not being, you know, saying, having said we're not going to do this and then focusing on Missouri because it happens to be the last possible primary. But generally, our focus at this point is going to be these general, broader advertisements. And the thinking for the client here is, you know, it's not enough to speak. You also want to be heard. And being heard by the broadest audience enhances their ability to communicate their message. And so narrowing it, we had a meeting over the weekend with the client, and narrowing this attempt at communication down to just individual states may make some sense in certain circumstances, but we think generally it's not as aligned with the vision and the goal of the organization. But, again, we don't want to say we're not going to do it. And it certainly does add a wrinkle to the complexity here. But I think, as the draft A and B point out, where we have specific Where we're narrowing it down to a specific state, that's a much easier analysis because it's just that one state, and it doesn't trigger the same volume of reporting problems of, as having to chop it up by 50 or 20 to 40 different states and do it that way. So we think if it were just the one state, it wouldn't be a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Backer. One final question that I have, and that is if your client prepares a good faith estimate, wouldn't that fit within the best efforts safe harbor in the statute?
Well, is a best is a good faith estimate for one day for all the primaries or for all 50 primary or all remaining presidential primaries? In terms of whether, I would say, yeah, in general, if we had a good faith estimate, it would probably fit within the exemption. But I have a hard time saying it's a good faith estimate, you know, just using the maximum cap every single day and say, well, we're not going to spend more than this. Let's just use that number. That's, I don't think that was the intent of it, even though we might be able to fit within that. And we still have the same problem of having to prepare 20 to 40 different entries every single day by dividing that estimate up and putting it into the system. So there's still the reporting burden component of it, even if we get around the problem of we're not sure how much money we're actually going to spend.
Thank you, Mr. Backer.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, we have the deadline, the 60-day deadline for this advisory opinion, I'm told, is February 13th. So we may bring you back again next week. Mr. Backer will keep you posted. But as we've said, we're going to try to work on a draft that might garner four votes in light of this conversation and your recent comments. So thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Mr. Palmer, are there any management and administrative matters to discuss?
Madam Chair, there are none.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.